Psalm 126. The reason I want to read this psalm today is because last night at the 40th anniversary dinner, this psalm was the theme of the night, and it's verse 3 in particular that has been the theme of the 40th anniversary year. So Psalm 126, and we read the psalm. It's not a very long psalm, so let's take the time to read it through. Psalm 126, just before we read it, could we bow, please, in prayer? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hymn we've been singing. We thank you for the Good Shepherd who goes after the lost sheep. We thank you, dear Lord, for each one in this service who once was lost but now is found. And Lord, we pray that there will be others in these days who, Lord, would be found and would be brought back to the fold, brought into the family of God. So we pray that the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, we pray, Father, that he will go forth and gather many into his flock. We even pray in this service today that if there should be someone who is still out on the mountains wild and bare, far from the tender shepherd's care, we pray, O Lord, that they will, Lord, know what it is to be carried on the Saviour's shoulders back to his fold again. Now, Lord, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you will bless the public reading of it. And we pray that you will bless our meditations upon it. As we think about it, O Lord, guide our thoughts, we pray. Guide our lips this morning. I pray, Lord, that you will help me to preach as if to never preach again, and as a dying man to dying men, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 126 and verse 1, please. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. We know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. Well, last night, obviously, some of us were at the dinner, the 40th anniversary dinner. And, of course, we understand that there were others in the congregation who weren't able to go. But this morning I want to fill you in a wee bit about what happened last night. And you will notice on the inside of your bulletin today that there's a picture of a cake. Maybe you were wondering what it was. But it's from last night, because last night there was a special cake baked. I don't know whether it was someone from the Great British Bake Off maybe baked it, I'm not sure. But anyway, whoever baked it, it was very, very well done. And it was a cake that was prepared especially for the 40th anniversary of the fellowship. And it has the text on it that I want us to think about this morning. It's Psalm 126, verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And then you've got the 40th anniversary logo, the logo that we have had on the front of our bulletin throughout this year. And it was good last night to see the Reverend and Mrs. Cross, and they were up at the front cutting the cake. And it was good that they were there, because the Reverend Cross really is the founding father of the denomination. So there you have it on the cake. Psalm 126, verse 3. But on the pen as well, because everyone who went last night received one of these pens. Whenever you went to your table and you sat down, there it was beside you, as well as a bag of sweets, I might add. There was this pen. And again, there was the text, the motto text for this special year. Psalm 126, verse 3. And what a great text it is. This is the cry of the people of Israel after the Lord brought them back to the land again. You remember in the Old Testament that the people, the Jewish people, they were taken captive because of their sins. And they spent 70 years in captivity in the land of Babylon. But then the Lord, in His sovereignty, brought them back to their land again. And this is the cry of praise that comes from the lips of the exiles who returned. They say, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." This is a great psalm. It's a tremendous psalm. It's a psalm, I suppose, that you could preach on at harvest time. I know that our harvest is over. We had it last weekend. But I suppose, in a sense, this is a continuation of the harvest theme, because the psalm speaks of it going forth with seed. And then when the seed is sown and it grows and the harvest takes place and the reaping takes place, then the harvesters, they reap the harvest and they come with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. So it is a great psalm. Of course, this is a metrical psalm. It's a psalm that's often sung. Now, we didn't sing it this morning, but I'm sure we'll sing it again sometime. It's in our hymn book. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. They among the heathen said, "The Lord great things for them hath wrought. The Lord hath done great things for us, whence joy to us is brought." So think with me, first of all, about these great words that we find in Psalm 126, verse 3. "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." The people of Israel, they could rejoice because the Lord had done great things for them, and they were glad. Nobody imagined that those exiles who went to Babylon, that they'd ever return, that they'd ever come back to their native land again. But God stepped in. You see, He's the God of the impossible, and He does things others cannot do. And he predicted it, of course. He prophesied that it would happen. The Lord said that 70 years down the line that His people would return again. And the Lord was true to His word, and He brought His people back again. And as the nations around Israel and Judah looked on, they couldn't believe what was happening. It was a miracle. Very similar to the miracle that took place in 1948 in the land of Israel, whenever Israel was formed again as a nation. 1948, under the leadership of David Ben-Gurion. And the nation of Israel became a nation once again, and the people of Israel were gathered together, and they were constituted as a nation once again. My, it was a miracle. But here, hundreds of years ago, indeed thousands of years ago, when the Lord brought Israel back from the Babylonian captivity, what a miracle it was. And the people couldn't help but cry out, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." This was a testimony. This is the testimony of the nation. This wasn't a testimony of an individual person. Now, I know that next month we're going to have testimonies. And it's good to hear individual testimonies of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for a soul. By the way, here's another point for prayer. You talk about people backing out. Over the last few weeks, there was one person who was booked to testify. He has pulled out. He's had to pull out, unfortunately. So you pray that God will just get his replacement. You pray that the right person will be there to speak on that particular night. But we enjoy listening to someone stand and testify and tell what the Lord has done for them. But in Psalm 126, it's not an individual testifying. It's a nation. It's a group of people. It's the Jewish people. And they're testifying about what the Lord has done for them. The great things that the Lord has done for them. And they want to give him the glory. Surely, as we look back over 40 years, we can say the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now, I know that this church here in New Buildings wasn't around 40 years ago. Next year, it'll be the 30th anniversary of this local church. But as far as the denomination goes, our denomination began 40 years ago. And of course, it was a great thing at that time because the men who began the work 40 years ago, they faced great opposition, ridicule, scorn. I'm sure most of us really know nothing about it. I'm sure the honest truth, the honest reality, I know very little about it. I know nothing about it apart from what we're told. But from what we have found out, what we were told, the men who were used by the Lord 40 years ago, they didn't have it easy. But you see, it was a work of God, and the Lord raised up the fellowship of independent Methodist churches. And over the last four decades, the Lord has continued to do great things. There have been times whenever the enemy has attacked. And the enemy would love to have destroyed the work. He would love to have divided the work. He would have loved to have snuffed out the light of the gospel. But the Lord overruled, and time again, our great Jehovah God, he did great things to preserve the witness. And for 40 years, the Lord has done great things for us. I hope you can say today, whereof we are glad. Are you glad today? Are you rejoicing in what the Lord has done for us? Thank God for the great things the Lord has done. Yes, this is the testimony, this is the cry of the Jews, the exiles, as they return. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. But you know, I was interested, as I studied for this message, I was interested to read that the Word of God not only says the Lord has done great things, but the Word of God also says the Lord is doing great things. And it also says the Lord will do great things. So I want us to think about that as we finish today. We have thought already about Psalm 126, and it's dealing with the past. The Lord has done in the past great things for us. And that's what we're celebrating this year, 40 years of what the Lord has done, the great things he has done. But you see, the Bible tells us that God is still doing great things today. Our God never changes. We change. We're up and down. Our love ebbs and flows, and my, how changeable and how fickle man is. But the Lord never changes. You see, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Isn't it good that our God remains the same? And the God who raised up our denomination 40 years ago, he's still the same. He hasn't changed one iota. His power hasn't diminished. His grace hasn't lessened. His mercy hasn't decreased. Our great God is still the same. And you see, in Job chapter 37, verse 5, notice these words. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. Did you notice it? Job said, great things doeth he, We're talking about the present now. We're not looking back 40 years. We're talking about 2014. We're talking about what the Lord is doing today and the great things that our God is doing. You mightn't see all that He's doing, but you see, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. But you know, behind the scenes, the Lord is at work and He's doing great things. And Job says that the Lord is the one who He doeth great things. You know, the Lord is doing great things today. He's doing great things right across the world. There are countries today where the Spirit of God is moving in a wonderful way. And people are being converted. Souls are being gathered into the kingdom of God. The church is flourishing. People are hearing the gospel for the first time. And they're responding after hearing it the first time. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the case in our country? That when a person hears the gospel for the first time, they respond and receive Christ. That's the way it should be. It was old Oswald Smith, the great missionary. He said, "Who has the right to hear the gospel twice when people haven't even heard it once?" My, all we need is once. We should only need to hear the gospel of saving grace one time and flee immediately to Christ. But the Lord is doing great things today across the world. And surely we can say that in our church today, in this church, He's doing great things. You know, every time a person comes into the church, that's a great thing. You know, on Friday night, those little children who came in for the first time, the Lifeliners, that was a great thing. That is a miracle. That takes the power of the eternal God to do it. It's the work of God to give a father or a mother an interest to send their children to the church, to hear the word of God. That's a miracle. It's a miracle that only God can do, because you see, by nature, men and women have no interest in the things of God. The things of God are right down at the bottom of their priority list. But you see, the Lord is almighty, and the Lord has a great jigsaw. His plan, His scheme for the salvation of the world is like a great jigsaw, and He's putting it all together. He's doing great things, like bringing little ones in to hear the word of God. Of course, we thank God for those who were in over the harvest Thanksgiving weekend. We thank God for those who have been in throughout the past year. And, you know, here's the greatest thing of all that the Lord is doing. He's saving souls. Yes, He's saving souls in our little country. We would love to see the Lord saving more souls. But thank God for those who are being saved, for the ones and twos, for the mercy drops round us that are falling. The Lord is doing great things. We haven't even touched on the universe, His creation. Did you ever think about that? Last night, whenever we returned home, I just looked up at the sky. I wonder if you've ever done that. A lot of people haven't done it, you know. But you see, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Did you ever wonder who it is that keeps those stars in their place? And the Bible tells us that He calls them all by name. The Bible tells us that He knows the number of the stars. Now you say, so what? What's the big deal about that? Well, here's the big deal. Here's the so what. Scientists estimate that there are as many stars in the sky as there are grains of sand on the beaches of the world. You think about that. Not just one beach, But all the beaches on planet Earth, and there's as many stars in that sky as there are grains of sand on all the beaches in the world. And the Lord, our great God, He calls them all by name. He knows exactly how many stars are up there, and He keeps them all in their place. Do you ever wonder who it is that causes the sun to rise each morning and to go down each night? The moon to come up? Do you ever wonder who it is that sends the sunshine so that the farmers can gather in the harvest? What a year it has been. What a year for harvest. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain. It's our great God who does it. He's doing it every day. Our world is filled with signs and miracles if only people could see it. You hear these people say, "Oh, seeing is believing. Don't you talk to me about the gospel and Jesus and the Bible. I want to see truth." You Christians, you're just living in la la land, airy fairy pie in the sky. Show me a sign, and I'll believe. Ah, there's signs everywhere if people would only look and see them. And our God is the one who is doing great things. Sure is it not a wonder that your heart's still beating today? Is it not a miracle that you've still got a pulse? Is it not a miracle that you've still got breath in your body? And God gives you the breath every day, and He keeps your pulse going every day, and He keeps your heart beating and pumping the blood round your body every day. Our God does great things, but we're just so blind that we can't see it. Oh, friends, our God not only has done great things for us, but He is doing great things for us. But praise God, the Lord will do great things. We're talking now about the future, the days that lie ahead. In Joel chapter 2, verse 21, listen to it. "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things." The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The Lord is doing great things right now. And thank God the Lord will do great things. My, it was that dear old missionary Adoniram Judson who said, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Friends, as believers, as a church, we have a great future. You know, the Lord is not finished with the fellowship of independent Methodist churches. The Lord is not finished with New Buildings Independent Methodist Church. Thank God there's still a work to be done, and our God will do that work. And you know what? We have the privilege of being a part of that great work. We have the privilege of getting involved in His work. Tell me today, are you involved in the Lord's work? Do you not want to roll up your sleeves and get involved in it? The Lord is calling you today to take your place. The Lord is calling for volunteers. On Thursday night, for those who were there, you will remember what I shared as we looked at Song of Solomon chapter 1. I said that the longer we serve Jesus, the sweeter He grows. You know the wee chorus, how it goes? The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. You know what the problem in Ulster is today? That there are too many Christians who are not serving Him, and therefore He's not sweet to them. Jesus becomes sweet to you. He becomes precious to you whenever you serve Him, whenever you start to work for Him. My dear friends, let me encourage you today to get involved in God's work, because the Lord will do great things. Great things He hath taught us. Great things He hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice who come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.